You'll find the scriptures printed on page 15 of the bulletin and an outline on page 16. We continue in the series we've been doing in the book of Luke. And please listen as I read to you what God himself says in his holy word. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' or 'Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" And he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here,' and do not go away and do not run after them, for just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and those goods are in the house. Let me try this again. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back." Remember Lot's wife. "Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding at the same place, one will be taken and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other will be left." And answering, they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered." In John's gospel, very early on, there is a Pharisee who came to Jesus by night. Remember that the Pharisees were the religious elite of their day. They were the elders often of the people. They were laymen who were very zealous for the things of God. They believed the Bible and they read it every day and they prayed every day and they fasted twice a week and they gave their tithe and they abstained from every form of evil that they could think of and put barriers around themselves to maintain what they perceived to be a holiness pleasing to God and obvious to everyone around them. This religious man came to Jesus early on in Jesus' ministry saying, "We think, that, in fact, we know that you are a man come from God because no one can do the kind of things that you're doing unless God is with him." Maybe you remember how Jesus responded to that man. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." And Jesus was saying, unless you have spiritual life, you will miss the kingdom of God. And this religious leader did not get it at that time. It seems to be a similar situation for the Pharisees who are asking Jesus questions about when will the kingdom come. And Jesus gives them answers. There, the Pharisees are asking when Jesus responds in verses 20 and 21, saying, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." We look at this passage today, there's a few things I want us to see, and as he speaks to the Pharisees, we need to see that the kingdom of God is already here. The kingdom is already here. He gives a short answer to the disciples, and he tells them basically, look, I am the king. And where the king is, there is his kingdom. He represents his kingdom, and the reason you don't know when it's going to come is because it's right here before you. This isn't the first time that they've had this kind of conversation. If you've been here for a while, you may remember back last end of the summer, beginning of spring, when we were looking at Luke chapter 11, and the Pharisees had accused Jesus of casting out demons by the Lord of the demons. And Jesus was defending his ministry of casting out demons. And in part, he said in chapter 11 and verse 20, "But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." And Jesus has shown that he is the king by all the miracles he's done, by the cleansing of the 10 lepers that we saw last week, by his teaching ministry, by casting out demons, by healing those who are lame. He has shown that he is the king, and yet these guys have missed it. It's as though Jesus is saying to them in his answer, "Look at me, I am the king." They would be able to say that he was there, that they were looking for a king, but because they had not been born again, because they did not have spiritual life, they didn't see him as king. I think for us in our day, it would be not, we would be able to sing King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. We would be able to go through the Advent season and read those passages about Jesus being the king on the throne of his father, David. We would be able to comprehend all of this stuff. But unless we have spiritual life, we would never, from the heart, bow the knee to Jesus. Our lips could talk about Jesus as king, but our lives would never submit to his rule and reign in our lives. And he would say to us, the kingdom is already here, the king has come. And in fact, for us, while Jesus is not humanly present with us, every one of his children who do bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart represent that kingdom here and now. The kingdom is already here. But that wasn't enough of an answer, was it? And it's interesting, our text tells us that Jesus wanted to say some more, but instead of answering the Pharisees, it tells us that he began to speak to the disciples, verse 22, and he said to the disciples, and this is where he gives more of the answers, and we could sum up what he's going to say to the disciples this way in point number two, the kingdom is not yet fully realized. Now remember, it's the disciples that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is the king who will sit on the throne of his father David. They have come to follow him, and Jesus wants to give them a fuller explanation. The Pharisees are there and listening for what that's worth, but he's teaching his disciples as those who should have insight and understand what he is saying. And there are several implications to this idea that the kingdom is already here, but it is not yet fully realized. For example, in verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and yet you will not see it." Disciples will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. He's probably referring to a passage in the book of Daniel that speaks about the ministry of the Messiah when he comes in his glory. That's what he's talking about. When every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, when he comes to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. He says the disciples will long for one of those days, just one of those days. And what I think he's saying is something that I imagine many of us, if not all of us, have experienced, where we long for the day when we have resurrected bodies, when death does not cut short the life of a young person by disease. We long for the days where we're not misunderstood, where there's no more conflict. We long for the days when this body of death is put away and we have no longer any struggle with a sinful nature because it's taken away, and we will see him not merely by the eyes of faith like we do now, but as he is with resurrected eyes in the majestic glory that fills the earth. We long for one of those days, and we might even say, oh, if I could just see one of those days, it would help me to persevere today. Jesus tells them, there's going to be days where you're ready to just give it up, where you long for one of the days of the Son of Man and not see it. Because right now, we live in a time where we by faith see Jesus, where we by faith submit to his rule and authority, where we by faith serve him, where we experience the struggles of this life. There's another implication. Jesus explains to the disciples that the kingdom is not fully realized because Jesus must first save all his people. We see this in verse 25. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Remember, we've seen that since the end of chapter 9, Jesus has been moving toward Jerusalem. And from time to time, he even speaks to his disciples and he says, the Son of Man is to be rejected and handed over and crucified and die, but he'll be raised on the third day. And here he gives another reference to exactly that, that there is a time where Jesus, it was in the future when he said it, it's in the past for us, where Jesus would die on the cross, not merely suffering the wrath of man, but suffering the wrath of God on behalf of the citizens whom Jesus came to redeem. And he speaks to that here. And he says, that must be accomplished. And he says, but Pastor Mark, it's been 2,000 years. Why isn't he here yet? We heard something of that from one of the readings today in Peter, that God is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but that he's patient, that he will redeem every son and every daughter before the Lord Jesus returns. And that is indeed what he's about. And so Jesus gives some teaching about that in verses 23 and 24, basically telling us, you don't know when he will come, but you will know when he comes, right? Verses 23 and 24, they will say to you, look there, look here, do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. He's saying, when I come, you don't have to worry about it. No one knows the day or the hour, Paul tells us, and Jesus implies that in this passage. We don't know the time. We don't know when he's going to come, but believe me, when he comes, we'll know it, is what he's saying. And so we don't have to take time following those who say it's going to happen on March 4th or on December 21st or whatever other day and whatever other year they say. They don't know. And we're not to fix our eyes on that. We're to fix our eyes on him, because he will come. And really that brings us to the third point. He calls us to be ready. And so we see in point number 3, when Jesus returns, he will bring judgment. He speaks about it in verses 26 to 30 when he says, "And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, like, there weren't signs to be observed, although they were. There's this crazy guy building a really large boat and all sorts of animals going into it. I guess that is a bit of a sign, but nevertheless, the people disregarded it. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. As you'll say, in the days of Lot, they were buying, they were selling. Life was continuing on. They were, the building projects, the economy, everything was just, up and down, pressing on every day, still the same, work, work, work. That's how it was. Until, for Noah and his family, they entered the ark. This is what Genesis tells us about those days. And Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7 tell us kind of how things are happening. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, 'I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animal to creeping things to birds of the sky, for I am sorry I have made them.'" Tells us further in verses 11 and following, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them.'" And on it goes, where he tells him to make an ark, a boat. Peter would tell us he was a preacher of righteousness. And chapter 7 tells us that when the floods came, the waters prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits higher than the mountains, and the mountains were covered. All flesh that moved on the earth perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth, and all mankind, and all that was on dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life." A day of judgment. The same way in Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels of the Lord went and they found Lot and they told him and his family to leave. And he said in 19:13 that they should leave because, "For we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And when they left, we are told in verses 24 and following, "Then the Lord rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew the cities," and on it goes. And Jesus tells us that when he comes again, it will be like in those days, days of judgment. In fact, verse 30, "It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down and take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back." Remember Lot's wife. He's saying, on that day, if you are ready, you go. And if you start looking, "I've got to have the things of this world. I've got to go in the house and get my stuff. I'm in the field and I've got to go back to the house and get my stuff." He says, remember Lot's wife. She didn't love the kingdom. She loved the stuff. It's a terrible warning that Jesus gives us. He says one will be left and another will, two will be in one bed, one will be taken and one will be left. And he gives examples of one will be taken and the other one will be left. And it's not a secret rapture. We know that because he keeps telling us it'll be like lightning that fills the sky. And interestingly, there's some in bed at night and some in the field during the day. How is that? Well, we do live on a globe, don't we? You hear what Jesus is saying? He's telling us today is the day of grace. Today is the day we can be reconciled and bow the knee to King Jesus. If you do not bow the knee, you will not be prepared. You will be unprepared for the judgment. But if you come to Jesus by faith, if you bow the knee by faith and receive Jesus, you receive the royal pardon of the King and forgiveness for your sins. And then you are ready to stand uncondemned when he comes. And that brings us to just the final point. Today is the day to be reconciled. Maybe you're listening and you say, okay, I get what you're saying. Jesus is the one whom God has appointed to be the judge. And first he died to take the judgment for all of those who would bow the knee to King Jesus. I understand what you're saying, that life is in Jesus, but what about me? I might be willing to reconcile to him, but he might not want me because of all of my sin. Well, the good news of the gospel is that though your sin is bad, you can say, I've sinned a million times. And the truth is, it's probably been closer to a billion. And you say, but God knows my heart. And I would just say, yes. In fact, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are laid open and bared to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And every one of your sins, every single one of them is offensive to God and deserves divine wrath and judgment. But no matter how great your sin is, it is not greater than his grace. His grace is greater. His sacrifice for your sins is greater than your sins. And so all you do is say, I bow the knee to you, King Jesus. I want to be reconciled. I receive you. Please give me the royal pardon that you, the man whom God has destined to be the judge, I want you, and I'll take the pardon, and I want to be reconciled to God. And the promise is he will receive you. Jesus said, all that the Father sends to me will come to me. If you're feeling guilty for your sins, especially if you're aware of how great a sinner you are, that's a sign of the Father's calling. And Jesus says, all that the Father sends to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. But instead he would say, come, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Will you come to the King? Today is the day. Today is the day you can be reconciled to him. Don't try and get your life together before you come. You will never succeed. It's too messed up. There's too many sins. You can't atone for them. But if you come on the terms of your King, which is trust in me and I will pay the debt, I have paid the debt, you will be saved. He will be reconciled to you. And you will be prepared on that day. Let's pray. Lord, such a solemn passage. Even for your disciples, very solemn. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you first suffered many things and were rejected, crucified, died, was buried. Thank you that on the third day you rose again, that you have conquered sin and death. And Lord, you know the hearts of all people. We would ask that you would comfort those who are your children, that they will see, if not in their lifetime here, when you return, all the days of the Son of Man. And if there are those here who are guilty and know it but are unreconciled, please give them the gift of spiritual life that they may turn to you and receive the forgiveness that you freely offer. We ask this for your glory and our good, in the name of Jesus. Amen.